Ever see that old beer commercial, "Life doesn't get any better than this"? That's what I'm afraid of. August 23rd, 2017. If I wasn't feeling bleak before entering Gauthier's Shop and Go, I am certainly getting the job done by the time I arrive at the Buddy's hot dog flavored potato chips display and double back toward the build-it-yourself nacho station. Gauthier's is one of those discount food marts seemingly designed for one purpose only: to crush the human soul. And doesn't sell a single product that a self-respecting, mentally healthy individual, not that I fit into either of those categories, would consume at gunpoint. Cereal it is. I grab a box of store-brand Reese's Puffs, pay the sullen cashier with a nose pimple big enough to be mapped by Hubble, and make for the exit, flushing like a shoplifter. Cold cereal. Dinner of champions. After scoring some off-season lager to pair with my candy-flavored corn balls, I cruise past the tire and exhaust shops of South Wentworth and park in front of my tired and exhausted house. Well, my parents' tired and exhausted house, the place I grew up in. Legally, it is mine now. I inherited it when Mom died last year and have been living alone there since. But I've made zero effort to claim it as my own. May I just say, nothing makes a 38-year-old feel more chipper about his life management skills than going to sleep every night in the same bedroom where he deflowered his first Victoria's Secret catalog. I am, in case you haven't picked up on it, battling depression. Well, battling is a strong word. The truth is, the fight went out of me ages ago. That's what most people who've never been depressed don't realize. The fight is the first thing to go. I sit curbside in my vintage Hyundai, staring at the peach-colored, vinyl-sided bungalow and its 20 years of deferred maintenance, waiting, I guess, for it to transform into a sparkling seaside villa in France. When that doesn't happen, I step out of the car and let my feet start their programmed death march toward the sagging front steps. "Hey, doucheweed," says Clyde Gilchrist, my optimistically muscle-shirt-wearing neighbor, approaching me from his side of our scraggly dividing hedge. The man has a gift for crafting a conversation opener. "Can you do me a favor? Next time you decide to throw a bag of empties in my backyard, can you at least aim for the..." I cut him off with a flip of the hand. I've never, in fact, thrown anything into his yard, except disdain. But I'm not in the mood for Clyde Gilchrist this fine evening. I jam my key in the door and slip inside. The odor of last night's Kung Pao shrimp greets my nose as a hard object clubs my Adam's apple. Feels like a flesh-covered pipe. My cereal box leaps from my hand and my bottled beer and car keys crash to the floor. My feet try valiantly to continue their forward march as my neck is jerked backwards with a sickening crack of cartilage. The hard object is a forearm. A muscled humanoid has me in a chokehold from behind. I can feel his biceps twitching and his hot breath in my hair. My unseen assailant whips my body around in a smooth 180 and drags me backwards through the house, face up. I cannot breathe, and my eyes feel as if they're about to pop their sockets. My feet flail, trying to gain purchase on the bare floor. What the hell is happening here? Why? I'm a second-rate computer game artist. I don't own anything worth stealing. A casual glance around the house would tell you that. And I've masterfully engineered my life to be of no real consequence to anyone. Ergo, whoever this guy is, he has the wrong person, the wrong house, the wrong information. Wrong, 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 on every count. I hope I can convince him of that, whoever he is. If only I could pull some air into my lungs.